Good morning. There is nothing like to be in the presence of God, right? Every single time we come, it is always a new experience. And so good to be this morning in your before you to open the scriptures once again. As we have been reminded earlier through email and other announcements, we have a very, very, very busy week with the VBS, especially tonight with the carnival. If you don't know what it is, it's most of the time it's mostly a kind of an advertisement. I mean, kids sign up; they will have some games that will be played. Anybody is driving by, and others who are invited, they can come with their kids and have a good time, as well as they will sign up for a VBS. So pray that it will be more fruitful. We found out it was very fruitful in the past. This year, because of some other conflicts, we couldn't do it early enough. But hopefully it will be a help for us to sign up many children. Especially all of you, please take extra time to pray for Vacation Bible School. Kids get saved. We had experience in the past here. Now, one good joy that I have personally, my first grandson, Evan, sadly some of you know him. He's just about seven, going to be seven soon. He was in their church last whole week, VBS, one night. He came home, talked with his mother. Guess what? He accepted the Lord. So it is possible, if you hear the statistics, the majority of Christians who came to know the Lord, they came to know when they were young and they were children. And of course, the Lord saves people of all age. But my good majority are saved when they were young and when they are children. So ministry among the children is one of the most important effort that we can do today. Now, in my previous series of messages that I took, we did, I believe it was about six series from the book of 1 Peter. And after that, maybe one or two random other subjects that I personally covered. And right after we finished 1 Peter, Sam calls me and say that Brother Kelly is going to do 1 Peter during our retreat. I said, well, we just finished 1 Peter. I was a little comprehensive. And, you know, after that retreat, I turned around and looked at the scriptures and said, wow, the same passage, the same book, when two different people look at it in two different ways, absolutely no overlap, no conflict. The subjects were so independent by itself in both cases. That is the wonder and the amazing fact about the Word of God. So you may hear a message on a passage one day from someone, and lo and behold, another can get up and speak from the same passage, which probably can be entirely different thoughts, but yet without conflict. So it is amazing, and I was humbled by the thought, how wonderful is the Word of God. We are going to start 2 Peter today. Perhaps we will finish in maybe two or three messages. I'm not sure how much time it will take. Perhaps 2 Peter will take a little shorter time. This morning we will only try to address perhaps chapter 1, maybe part of it. Because chapter 1 is the most important chapter in this book. And this chapter, primarily Peter addresses a subject that we can call, although that wording I'm going to use is not found there, but we could call it is a call to develop a strong Christian character. A call to develop a strong Christian character. That is primarily the thought of chapter 1. He addresses that subject very in an interesting way. If you are not carefully reading through, so sometimes you can see it looks like it's all over the place. But so wonderfully, Peter has written. We will make some observation generally, then we will try to concentrate on chapter 1 for a few minutes before us. As get started, let's read chapter 1 of 2 Peter. For the purpose of reading, I'm going to use the New King James Version, but most of my life I have studied and meditated and used the old King James Version, so I'll go back to it, but for the reading purpose, I'm going to read from
the New King James Version. Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. There are 8 things listed there. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll pause there. We'll stop there for the moment. The next few verses, Paul says, reveals an amazing fact that the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to him about the death that he is going to face. He clearly addresses that in the next two verses there. Just a few general observations about the book as well as the passage that we read. There are 6 major items. We won't go into the details at this moment. I just want to list them. 6 major items of interest that we can notice from these passages that we read as well as in the following verses. We see a dual name of the author. In the first Peter, we see Peter calls himself an apostle. Here he calls him a bond servant and an apostle, a dual authorship. Through that, he also says of he's the dual dual position or office, we can say. There are 2 parties mentioned. He says us and them in these passages. There are double blessings are mentioned, grace and peace, which will be multiplied. Dual role of the Lord Jesus Christ is given, God and our Savior Jesus Christ. 2 important characteristics in righteousness and in knowledge. So there are twos of at least 6 times in those aspects are very clearly mentioned in this passage. In verse 14, as I said earlier, that Lord Jesus Christ revealed to him about his death. That must have been an awesome revelation that Peter received from him when he is going to die, perhaps how he is going to die. I don't know how many of you would like to know when you will die. I do. I'm really looking. I wish I knew the day that I'll be gone. But Lord, the Lord chose that to be made known to his servant Peter. Another person in the Old Testament we perhaps looked at is Moses. Moses almost knew when he's going to die. Peter is beginning his writing with one assumption, that all of us has obtained the like precious faith. He's not saying that we should get the precious faith, that he says you have the like precious faith. That assumption is given, and based on that assumption, he builds it up. So we will continue to look on basis of that foundation. He also makes another assumption that the audience has already have received grace and peace. Because he doesn't say you must receive grace and peace. He says grace and peace be multiplied. You cannot multiply something that you don't have. So that is another assumption that he takes. He says you have the faith, you have the grace and peace which will be multiplied. And that entire instruction that he is going to give to us in the following passages and the verse is based on one word, knowledge of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The faith, the peace, and everything else, the righteousness and other things that he is going to mention in the following passages is based on one word, the knowledge of the Lord, of our Savior Lord Jesus Christ. The foundation for developing a Christian character is based on the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that. The foundation for developing a Christian character is based on the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, as you and I will agree, he's not talking about the first time when you came to know the Lord as your Savior. We all have knowledge of our Savior, of him as our Savior. But Peter is talking about a step beyond that. Some of that we will consider as we go on. Let me pause and ask you one question. What is the level of knowledge that you have about your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? I take it that all of us have known him as our personal Savior and Lord and one who died for us. All that is good. That is where the foundation begins. But did that stop there? In the old translation that I use, one important word is good to notice. That we will come to that before I close. In verse 5 of the old translation, it says, "And besides this," meaning besides the salvation, there are other things that Peter is trying to bring to us. So we'll come to that perhaps before we close that. What is my knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is very critical that knowledge increases on a very daily basis so that Christian character can be built in ourselves. And Peter also talks about the resources that God has given to us to do that. In Ephesians, Paul talks about an intense desire that he had to know the Lord Jesus Christ more and more. When I read that, I paused one day. This is many years ago. I said, "Paul, you are Apostle Paul. You have known him for so long. You are the one who has written these epistles. And you are still saying that you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ?" He says, "I have a very intense desire to know him." And that was his prayer for the saints, as we read in the book of Ephesians, that you may know him personally more and more. And in verse 1 and 2, if you notice that Paul also very undeniably establishes the fact, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody can ever question that the Lord Jesus Christ is not God. Because Peter says, God, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. One of the many other passages, this is one of them, that so thoroughly and without any question and doubt establishes the deity of Christ. Now, with the call to develop a strong Christian character, Peter assures that God has given to us, if you notice the word that we read, all things. God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, in that case, do I need to pray for any more? Now, that's not the matter here. But he, from God's side, God has given to us all things that he can give for our life and godliness. To build upon it, it is your job and my job. This is one of the most powerful statements in the New Testament, I know. That all things are given to us for life and godliness. I want to pause for a moment, perhaps. Anyone in this room, if maybe a young child, or if you do not know the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior, what I'm going to say is really foreign to you. That is where it begins. Begins with the salvation Peter is talking about. Begins with the faith. Begins with the peace and the righteousness and all other things that is associated that Peter assumes that we have. And if you are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you cannot build a Christian character at all. You know what? Most religions in this world are trying to build a character, a good life, a good behavior, a good character, and hoping at the end they will get to heaven. Most religions are based on that principle. But the God of the Bible and the only Christianity has reversed that order. It is the same. Both are the two principles: to get salvation and then build a godly life. But everybody else has reversed the order and confused. Start building your character, have a good life, and eventually perhaps you will enter into salvation. Do you know where it started? The Garden of Eden. Eve said, "I want to be like God." In other words, she wanted to do her own thing, by eating the fruit and attain salvation, or she wanted to be just like God and building a character. That was her desire. But by her own action, you know what happened? It did not materialize. So ever since, the world has been following that principle, somehow to do things to be like God, to attain salvation or build up a godly character. That is where the world, the majority of religions is based on, following the pattern of Eve. To all those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ, who has the faith already in us, who has known the Lord Jesus Christ to some extent, or to the extent of whom as a Savior, we have the following promises. I'm going to just quickly list through that. We won't take time to explain every one of them word by word, but these are 8 promises given in this passage. One is the source, which is the divine power. The supply has bestowed on us lavishly. The sufficiency is everything. Special and spiritual sustenance is life and godliness. Simplicity is through the knowledge of Him. Security is His own glory and excellence. And salvation called us having escaped from the corruption which is in this world. And the sharing in the divine nature. These are the promises given to us when we were saved. You and I may not have realized it. When I was saved, I never knew all this. All I knew was that I was saved. All I knew was I just want to get to heaven. All I knew was I will not go to hell. All I knew was the Lord Jesus Christ died for me. That was the end of my knowledge when I was saved at the age of 11. But what a tremendous thing Peter is bringing to our attention. Once, because you are saved, we have been given this divine power which is bestowed upon us so lavishly and given to us everything which is necessary for life and godliness here on this earth. Power of God. Someone said that as a Christian, he will never experience a power failure. A Christian should never experience power failure because it is given to us by God who never fails. The expression divine power, found nowhere else in the New Testament, the word divine power, that combination of the word, is not found anywhere in the New Testament, indicates that a liberal source to meet every need of every circumstances that we go through. Divine power is given to us to meet every need of every circumstances that is given to us. That is God's side of giving to us, the divine power. We can talk about the divine application of the divine power throughout the New Testament and Old Testament, many, many instances where God has applied the divine power to bring God's people unto Himself. And perhaps you and I can also think of experiences that you and I have gone through. Perhaps it varies from person to person. And then Peter also says here that we are partakers of the divine nature. I find it so difficult to grasp that statement. We are partakers of divine nature. What is divine nature? Everything that is that can be attributed to God. Love, holiness, you name them, everything that we can think of. I think sometime in the past, maybe it was Chuck who took a study on God and his divine characters. Everything that we can know of God, a part of it is divinely, we can experience, we are partakers of it. That's what Peter says. It is not only the power of God, the divine power given to us for life and sustain us, but it is also that we are partakers of the divine nature. It is something that was, when I sat down and meditated upon this, I said, I don't understand this. Me, a sinner like me, to have been bestowed that nature of God himself through the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do I make these two things applicable in my life? That is the explanation Peter gives to us. Yes, the divine power is available to us, divine nature that we are partakers of it. How do I make it my own? Peter says, there is no shortcut. There is no knowledge of reading the Bible, not by memorizing the verses, not by going to any seminary or Bible school, or not by standing here and preaching, not by doing good works, not by giving to the Lord's work, not by doing VBS, nothing of that sort. No shortcuts. There's only one way to obtain and to apply the divine nature and the power of divine power in our life is the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to pause again and ask you this question. All of you need to answer yourself. You don't have to answer me. I will answer it for myself. What is the level of knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ you have and I have in our life? Problem with, I would say, many of us, or not only us, many Christians, I mean, when you go around and travel with meet other places, is we simply stop at salvation. Peter says, besides this, don't stop at salvation, Peter says. There is much more besides this. Problem with many Christians, as I said, they stop right there. Yes, will the Lord come and they will be in heaven? Yes, they do. And most people are just simply want somehow get to heaven. But God has much more in plan when he saved us. Saved you and me. Don't forget the word beside this. And then he goes on to say, what is all that involved? To have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior is one thing, but it's another thing to build a strong Christian character by increasing the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. And that will be very evident in our life, in our practice, in our service to the Lord on a very daily basis. I don't know if you remember that not too long ago we looked at a series on the building of godly character from the Old Testament, started from the life of David. Godly character is one thing that is lacking today among God's people. It is not the lack of knowledge of the scripture, especially among the assembly people of the assemblies. It is not the lack of knowledge of the scripture. It is not the lack of preaching of the word. It is not the lack of other knowledge and experiences that we go through. It's not the lack of availability of services to the Lord, or the ministries and the sub-ministries and on it goes. It is not lack of any of those. What is lacking today in Christian churches and in individual life is lack of godly character. You and I at least are aware of places we talk sometime about. When I talk about those things, I tremble, because this is the church of God we are talking. People quarreling, arguing, fighting, disagreeing, dividing, you name them. And Paul had a very serious admonition to his disciple Timothy in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy chapter verse 15 says, Timothy, when you go, remember how to conduct yourself in the church of God. Brothers and sisters, it is a very serious matter. How we do conduct in the church of God And the reason is given in the next verse, in verse 16 of the same passage. Because church of God is the root and ground and truth of God's word, God. It is the pillar of truth, it says. We have to be very careful how we deal within among God's people. So it is a part of a demonstration of the character that we build up. Like I said, one of the things that is lacking today is the lack of godly character. Verse 5 to 7, Peter gives us a picture of 8 steps of a ladder for all of us to climb. You can picture it as a ladder, not perhaps in the same order it is given, but at least for the understanding purpose, we can think of it as a ladder. It may not be in the order, but all of them are important factors to develop this character that Peter is talking about. First part, when he, verse 1 to 4, Peter talks about the fundamental statements of doctrine and statements. Then he proceeds to the encouragement to in the use of what has been given to us by God in all things. When he said all things, what is involved in that all things? And he goes one step further and explains what are these all things that is given to us for developing this character. First is the faith. As we said, it is already assumed that we have it. It's already received. Then he says on faith, build a virtue. On a simple meaning of that word can be a manliness or a courage. It is found 4 times in Peter's epistle and only once in other place in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Have the virtue, be a man, a manliness and courage. Many of us lack that. We think we do, but we do lack courage. Go out, when you walk out, go outside the street, you may come across a man or a woman. We do lack courage or virtue to talk to him about the Lord. Don't you? I do. I don't have the courage sometimes. We fail to bring the word to him because we have no virtue or the knowledge or the manliness or the courage that is necessary as a believer. Then he takes on to the next step of the ladder, which is from virtue climb up to knowledge. Knowledge is to be added. He says, add this to knowledge. And this is that we already have. To some extent, we have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we must have the ongoing increase in that knowledge of him. And then the next step in that same ladder, we can think of the temperance, a person in control of himself. The temperance means a person in control of himself or herself. Whoever allows his passion not to take over, but keeps in subject. This is a good character to build upon. Another step in our life. A person in control of himself or herself, who never allows his passion or her passions to take over, but keeps all in subject when it is necessary. Do you know that it is the most difficult thing is not to talk, but I mean, to talk it is not very hard, but not to talk, it is a character and it's a virtue. We find it sometimes difficult, especially me with a big mouth with me. To talk is very easy. We can say things that comes out in our mind. We can immediately spit it out. But to control that tongue, as James says, it is one of the most difficult things. One example we can see, the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. He could have said whatever he wanted to say, but he restrained himself from saying anything or doing anything. That was a demonstration of the power of God. So for us to have the temperance in our life. Then he says the next step in the ladder is endurance. Now we kind of considered this even yesterday when we were in the home meeting for those who came. Christians are not immune from the days of distress and difficulty. We may have the good character, godly character, all that Peter wants us to have, but we are not immune from distress and difficulty in life. But from that distress and difficulties that we face, Peter says that we learn from him how to endure. Endurance is the next step. And the step number 6 is godliness. Being immovable in our character, but yet constantly abounding in the fear of God. I have spoken this before here. Another thing that is lacking among God's people is fear of God. People talk about God so easily, no fear. Now, there are, I can really quote practical examples here, but you will not ask me to speak again if I say those things. People have lost the fear of God. Our conduct in the church of God, our conduct in many things that we are expected for us to believe, we have perhaps lost the fear of God. Again, all other things goes on, activities and teachings and learnings and preachings and all that is good, which is very necessary. But where is your fear of God? Godliness is the next step. And the next step, number 7, is the brotherly affections or kindness. Just to understand that, we can probably think of Abraham when he was talking to Lot and his herdsmen. They were together in the field. They said, "We be brethren." Abraham had a good understanding who Lot was, his brothers were. Do you know who your brethren are, in the sense that you are concerned and you are understanding that others are God's people, they are brethren in Christ? We must have that understanding. Brotherly affections and kindness. There should be always a caring love for the brethren. I wish we all of us can grow in that step a little further. Love and kindness for the brethren and caring for each other. And finally, step number 8. And the last one, Peter says, he says, love. Move from the exclusive brotherly kindness and to the unlimited and deep love, which is similar to agape love. Our love for our brothers, our kindness to our brothers, move from there to love that is equivalent to agape love, which God has loved us with. Well, it's a big ladder to climb, right? And the amazing and interesting thing is, we are not left alone. You are not given this ladder and say, "Okay, here you go climb it." If you fail, you are at fault. But God has given us the divine power as and promises. God has also given us partakers of a divine nature. On a practical sense, what else has he given? We can think of at least, I came up with at least 6 practical things God has given to us in our walk with him to have the godly life, to building this character. We have our high priest whom we worshipped. He is seated on the right hand of God, looking down on my behalf, the ministry of the high priestly ministry of our Savior on my behalf. And the indwelling presence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We as brethren, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit much. I guess I am supposed to be taking a Sunday school soon, so I am thinking of talking about the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit that is indwelling in our heart. Angelic activities, you know, I am not taking time to, because we have no time. There are angelic activities on our behalf while we are living on this earth, or while we travel, while we do things, go around and do things. He has given us a new life. It is not a life that is repaired and somehow maintained and go. It is a total new life that is given to us. And the instruction of the word of God that we very often hear. And above all, Peter says, exceeding great and precious promises. Somebody said there are either 30,000 or 300,000. I may be missing 10 there. 1,000 promises in the scriptures. How do we obtain these resources to continue to develop a godly character? The answer is very simple. I wish I could give you another very 1, 2, 3, you know, today's mindset, everything, you know, quick answer. You know, you go to McDonald's, you can get a meal in 2 minutes. Everything is disposable and quick. That is the mindset of today. I don't have that answer this morning. How do we obtain? How do I build this godly character that Peter is talking about? Increasing our knowledge of Him. As we progress our walk and service for the Lord. I don't know when you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Can you look back and see the number of years that you have passed? How much of the increase of the knowledge of the Lord, of the Lord Jesus Christ has come into your life? Which indirectly help you to build this godly character that Peter is talking about. And you don't have to struggle. Divine power and divine nature is given in us. And all this that is necessary for us to walk in this world for Him. You know, one day you and I will stand before God. This thought really trembles me most of the time, and I think I may have mentioned it here a million times, but I'm going to say it again. When you stand before Him, you will be there all by yourself. All by yourself. You cannot blame your parents. Parents cannot blame the children. Husband cannot blame the brother, wife. Neither the wife can blame the husband. Lord, I could not do this because of him. If they were good, I could have been better. You will never, ever have an excuse when you stand before Christ. Because He has given all this that we have looked at for your building up that godly character. You have no excuse. And you will be ashamed one day if you haven't. So listen to Peter this morning. Besides this, yes, you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the scriptures. You have a tremendous wealth of knowledge in everything that you have. Well and good. Peter says, besides this, build a godly character by the knowledge of Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we bow down before you. May the help of the Holy Spirit examine each one of our hearts. First mine, to examine the level of knowledge of the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, with the effect of building a godly character. The steps that Peter has mentioned to us, Father, we pray thou may help each one of us in the days to come, that we may be very mindful that we will build up a character, that one day God will say, the Lord Jesus will say, well and well done, faithful servant. We may do a lot of things. Help us to examine our Christian character, godliness, and the fear of God in our lives. Commit each one of us to the throne of grace for the rest of the morning and all the activities and the Sunday school by your brother. Our time of fellowship together in a few moments. It may bring glory and honor to you. Thank you for hearing your prayers in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.